Yud Beis Iyar, Monday the 8th of May, Rabbi Shmuel Zilberberg, Sefira, Zaman Tikkun Hamidus.
Boy, Rabbi Sain. Today's topic is Tikkun Hamidus, which is actually to correct our negative traits and characteristics. What is actually the root of our negative characteristics and traits? What is the root of it? Reb Chaim Vital brings in Shaar Kedusha that every Jew has a neshuma chaylik alakayim imal, that everyone knows. But on top of that, every yid has a nefesh abehimis. Nefesh abehimis is something which we really don't understand, we can't grasp, but it has good and it has bad. The nefesh abehimis. And the pusik and Yechezkel ben Bizi talks about the vision that he had about the koyches atime, and noiga loy suviv is klipas noiga. That's the nefesh abehimis. Now, nefesh abehimis is fire, water, riach, and ufor. There's four categories in the nefesh abehimis. The fire causes the terrible, terrible trait of getting angry and being conceited. Mayim causes tavis. People have desires, negative desires. That's the mayim. The riach is letzunis, making fun, everything negative in that field. And finally, ufor is what causes us to be lazy and chas v'shulim b'dikoon. That means depressed. At any rate, the major work on the traits of a person are these categories. And what I wanted to emphasize here is that I'm a marriage counselor for over 50 years, and I must say that the majority of the problems that I encountered was connected to the bad characteristics and traits. That was the major issues that we were dealing with. There's a Gemara in Chilin, Daf Samech, which is so shocking that it's unbelievable even why the Chazal bring down this maise that happened, an episode. But the Rishonim write, Chas v'shulim, we should never ever interpret this Gemara as it's written, because it's very, very deep and it involves many issues. But the fact is that the Gemara tells us as follows. Gemara tells us that Rav Shimon ben Pazi found a contradiction. It says in the Torah, Ishnai Moris HaGdolim, that the sun and the moon were very big. And then it says, Samur HaGudu v'Samur HaKutin. One was big, one was small. It's a contradiction. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi tells us that the Eibishter created the world with the sun and the moon very large, very big. They were the same size. And then the moon stands in front of Hashem complaining. Rabbeinu Shalom, Einstein Meluchim Mishtamshim B'Kesvecha. Two kings don't use one crown. So how is it that you created the sun and the moon the same size? So Hashem says to the moon, you know, you're right. You're very right. Belittle yourself. Make yourself small. So the moon says, I said a correct comment, a correct criticism, and I'm the one that should be punished, that I should become small. In other words, he wanted the sun to become small. The Eibishter doesn't answer the moon to his complaint, but the Eibishter tells the moon, I'm going to compensate you. What will be the compensation? The compensation will be that up to now, you only gave light by night. From now on, you'll be able to give light by day also. So the moon says, that's compensation? Shrag betahare mahanalai. What is the value of a candle being lit in the middle of the day that the light of the day is so big, so no one feels that there's any change because the candle was lit? In other words, what am I getting out of it? No one's going to notice that I have these powers. First of all, I wanted to say two comments already on the spot because I can't hold myself back from making the comments. The first thing is the courage of the moon to stand in front of the creator of the world. What kind of a nerve does this moon have? You're telling the Eibishter how to create his world? What do you mean, Einstein, Melucha, Mishtam, Shembekezecha? Two kings don't use one crown? If Hashem created the world that way, that's the way it should be. You're the one that's telling the Eibishter how to run his world. Second of all, when Hashem tells the moon, I'm going to compensate you, I'm going to make you bigger so that you can have light by day also, not just by night. So what does he complain? No one will see it. So what? Say a grace yeshkoich to the Eibishter that he's making you so much bigger that you have light by day. So you have to have, all the world has to notice that you're getting this special power. What kind of an argument is this? The Eibishter doesn't say one word to the moon. Not on the first point, why in the world are you mixing into my creation? And second of all, what kind of what's this supposed to be? The compensation is not good enough for you because people don't notice it? Anyway, the Eibishter says to the moon, you know what? I'll give you another compensation. Just imagine. All the calculations of the Yomim Tovim by Klal Yisrael will be according to the schedule of the moon. Just imagine. Everything according to you. What does the moon say to Hashem? The courage. So what? It's not a big compensation. Why? Because the sun also gets something. Why? What is the sun? All the calculations of the seasons of the year are according to the sun. So what? You can't be mafargen. You can't let the what's this jealousy? So the sun also has something. So what? That's a complaint. I'm giving you this gigantic privilege that all the ma'adim of Klal Yisrael will be according to your calculation. Anyway, Hashem sees that the moon's not satisfied. So Hashem says to the moon, you know what? I'll give you a third compensation. What will it be? You'll join the club. There's a special club of the righteous, the tzaddikim, who are humble. And you'll also be in that club. It says, Yaakov is Yakutin, Shmuel Akutin, David is Akutin. Wonderful club. And they're all humble, so you also will be Kutin. Excellent. Just imagine. After all this, the moon's not satisfied. And Hashem sees that the moon is not happy. So Hashem says, you know what? If that's the case, I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness that I made the moon smaller. And the Seer HaShchodesh that we're makriv HaShchodesh, it's for to forgive Hashem why he made the moon smaller. I can't even say it out of my mouth. I wish the needs forgiveness. All the Rishonim yell, what's this supposed to be? And the Gemara says at the end, that's why by Seer HaShchodesh it says LaShem, to emphasize that this is a meal like Kapura Shema Atati Esirach. Bring me a Kapura, an offering, a forgiveness for why I belittled the moon. What's this supposed to be? The Rishonim are considering, even Rav Alfasi, who doesn't write anything on Agudah, but this same Gemara is also in Shviyas Daf Tes, and he quotes the Alfasi that don't interpret the Sfirah more of the way it is, but still we have to understand why are Chazal telling us this? What's the purpose? As I was saying before, every single day we encounter a very big problem. The whole Gulis that we are in Gulis is because of sinas chinam, hating people for nothing. This is all because of rotten midas. I'm saying it. The terrible midas that people don't understand that they have to compromise with someone else, to be good to someone else, caring for someone else. Everything is I. Everything is in that category. And what happens at home with the spouse? There's always arguments. And most of the time, not most of the time, by many people, they happen to be right. That's the big joke. The person that is involved in a fight at home, he's right. A lot of times, she failed to understand the deepness of the issue, and he is right. And he says, I'm right. So I can say what I have to say, and she has to give in. That's it. But it's not true, because it's not a smart thing, because when you're right that you're entitled to be the one that's not compromising. It's tough when you are right that you're supposed to have this sense to understand that you're supposed to be compromising. I want you to understand one thing. This is at home. I'm talking about a business. Even in business. You're sitting in the office and someone comes in and they tell you some kind of a derogatory statement or something, and it wasn't in place, and you are right, and you have two options. One option is to keep quiet and not say anything, or you have an option to argue with the person, have a new enemy, you know, that you're fighting with, and et cetera, et cetera. So what are you supposed to do? You're in besmedish. People are sitting in besmedish. It's just mind-boggling. How many things happen in besmedish, especially on Shabbos? It says, "Le'savari aish b'chol mosh b'sach mosh Shabbos." Aish means the aish machlokes. People have time, a lot of leisure time, and it's a very good time to argue. And a lot of sometimes the topic that's brought up is so trivial. It's not even important. It's just really unimportant. Any kind of discussion can lead to a fight and yelling and insulting the other person. Why? Why should it be that way? So here the Gemara is going out of the way. There can't be a bigger distance than the moon to Hashem. Rabbeinu Shloimeh, the creator of the world. And here the moon, he's like zero standing in front of Hashem. So any person, if I want to give an example of someone that is so far from the other side, this is the example. And the Eibishter actually could have told the moon, as soon as he started to talk, get lost. Who are you? What are you talking about? How I should create the world? Whether it should be big or it should be small, what's that supposed to be? Hashem doesn't answer. Not doesn't Hashem answer that way, but Hashem tells the moon, you know, I'm going to compromise with you. Oh, how wonderful. So just imagine the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving a privilege to the moon, regardless that he's 100% not right, and he tells the moon, I'm going to give you the ability to have light by day also. So instead of saying, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, what does the moon say? It's not good. Why? Because no one will notice it. No one will notice the positive gift that Hashem is giving. That's what you answer Hashem? So Hashem could easily have told the moon, what are you talking about? What are you worried about? Someone else not looking, not seeing, not understanding. What do you care? The Eibishter doesn't answer a word to the moon. Not just doesn't the Eibishter answer, but the Eibishter gives a new compensation to the moon. What's the next compensation that we said? That the calculation of the Ma'adim, just is a privilege. All the Ma'ad Yisroel, the Kla Yisroel, will be calculated by the moon. And the moon says, no, that's not good enough. Why? Because the sun is getting something? The calculation of the seasons? So Hashem could have told the moon, what are you talking about? I'm giving you such a gigantic privilege, and you're debating with me? The Eibishter doesn't answer a word. But the Eibishter says, I'll give you a third compensation, which is that you'll join the club of the righteous who are humble. And still the moon does not agree. This is shocking. Not just doesn't the Eibishter counter the arguments of the moon, but the Eibishter blames himself. He says, I'm to blame that I made you small. It's very interesting. The Chazon Lublin, one of the big rebbes, asked, why did the Eibishter make the sun bigger? Why did he have, there's a problem here. Einstein, make the sun bigger. So he says, the world wasn't worthy of such big sun, such a big light. This was the maximum that the people of the earth could tolerate, this type of light. I said, let's think deeper. Maybe there is a point to what the moon is saying. Maybe the two kings aren't supposed to use one crown. He says, you're right, says the Chazon. But not you should be arguing that. Send someone else to argue for you. You're the one that wants to get this privilege, and so you're arguing for Hashem. The Eibishter first of all wanted to teach the people that when you have something that you want on the account of someone else, send someone else. Don't be the one to argue. That's another point. But let's get back to the punchline. What I want to say here is, not only didn't the Eibishter debate with the moon on all the points when the moon wasn't right, Hashem at the end says, I'm to blame. Just imagine. Hevi'a lai kapura, give me forgiveness that I made the moon small. Just imagine what a lesson the Gemara is teaching us by telling us this story. When you encounter with your wife, when you encounter with your friend, when you encounter with anyone, and you are right, have the sense of coming to a compromise. And not just compromise, but let's say the person keeps insisting and pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And then you say, this is beyond my power. Learn from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What did a Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He said, I'm to blame. Just imagine. Take upon yourself the blame. And what will be the end of this? Honor and tranquility. That is the peace of the world. And there would never be any arguments anymore, and there wouldn't be any problems anymore. Beautiful world, and Mashiach would come, no question about it. It was a murdiga story. At the time of the Chassam Sofer, it was a Guan, the Tzaddik, called Reb Mordechai Benet. He was gigantic, unbelievable. He was a Rav in Nikolsburg, and he was considered one of the top goyim of his time. Anyway, he went to Carlsbad because he became sick for treatment. Carlsbad was, they had minerals there and all kinds of treatments. So he went to Carlsbad, which was very far from Nikolsburg. And when he was there, he became ill. It became the worse, the situation became worse, and passed away in Carlsbad, a gigantic distance from where his city was. There was no other option but to bury him in a town next to Carlsbad. So as soon as the people of Nikolsburg heard this story, that this tragedy, that their Rebbe was Nifter, and he's buried in some town next to Carlsbad, they sent people to this town. They're demanding that he should be reburied in Nikolashpur. He's the ruler of their city. Of course, they said, no, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu brought about a situation where the Ruv came here and it was buried here, it's a sign that we're entitled to have the privilege that this Tzaddik Vaguan should be buried in our city. It was a very big debate of the Gedolei Yisroel, what should be the Pesach Melucha. And it was decided, the Chassam Sofer was living at the time, that he should be the one to determine what will be the. And some Sofer sat down with all the Sfurim, and at the end he wrote a Tshiva, a letter, and explained lengthily why the people of Nikolashburg are right. They are the ones that are entitled that their Rebbe, their Gaon Vetzadik, should. So he wrote this whole letter, and as soon as he finished the letter, he became very, very tired, and he fell asleep on the table where he wrote that letter. And Remortre Benet comes to him in a dream. And Remortre Benet tells him, you should know that the letter that you just now wrote, you're right 100%. I should really be transferred to Nikolashburg for burial, but I'm asking you a favor. Don't send that letter immediately. Do me a favor and keep the letter by you up to a half a year and then send the letter. In other words, to activate what you're writing should only happen a half a year from now. And he says to the Chassam Sofer, just imagine, Oy Lamamis. I come up there and Baruch Hashem, everything was a clean slate. They found one problem with me. I wrote a tshiva, a response to a shaila, and it was a very complicated issue. And because of that issue, I had to determine a psak halucha, which was 100% correct al pi Torah, right? It tells us some stuff. But I caused to a certain party in a family very big anguish. They were really torn apart because of my psak. But it was Das Torah. I wrote Das Torah. And it was decreed in heaven that because of that, when I'll be nifter, I'll have to be nifter such a far distance away from my home. And I'll have to be buried in a strange place. And this is to forgive for the anguish that I caused this family, although I was 100% right, al pi das Torah. So that's what, and he tells the Chassam Sofer, if you want proof to what I'm saying to you, because it's in a dream. So he says to Chassam Sofer, send someone to this Beis HaChaim where I'm buried, and you'll see, he told them the name of the party who's buried next to him over there in that Beis HaChaim. That will be the proof that what I'm saying is correct. And the Chassam Sofer sent a special shliach to this Beis HaChaim, and sure enough, this party is buried next to Remortre Benet. They waited a half a year, and then they sent the letter to Rav Chassam Sofer, and they transferred him to Nikolashburg. Moira Rabbeisai, just imagine, what am I talking about? The Tzaddik Hador, literally the Tzaddik Hador, reaches perfection in every area. And because of one step that he took, which was 100% Das Torah, he's a rabbi, he has to paskin. And he wrote the real Psak Halucha. Still, he was punished for this. We don't even understand, actually, what the punishment entails, because we don't understand the pain of the neshama to be buried here, taken there. You know, we have no idea what this is all about. But it's not anything plain. It's something that's very, that needed to have a kapura, and this was what was decreed in heaven. So what am I trying to reach? The point is, please take this message. If this would be discussed in every Beskinesis, you know, every trivial matter is always top priority to be discussed. This is our life. This is our salvation, to go out of the gulas. If everyone would follow up on the way the Eibishter is teaching us in this Gemara and Chilun Daf Samach, to learn not just to compromise, but to learn to even blame yourself when you come to the point where through this pattern of behavior, there would be peace and harmony everywhere, in the homes and in the shul and everywhere. This is the point. I want to finish my discussion that we know that we're waiting for the Gila Shleima, and Amulek, he's the one that makes us very cold, get cold feet, you know, Makarir, that's Amulek. And he also, Amulek is the numerical value is of Sufis, always brings you not to know exactly what to do. The Vilna Gaon writes that by Amulek, it says, so the Gaon asks, what is this kvila solution? Mulchoi emche, what is it? So the Gaon says, I want you to know that mechias amulek kimuchoi with the word emche. The emche is the word of how we conquered amulek. The first time was Yimei Moshe v'Yashiah, that says that Moshe was sitting on the stone, you know, and so he says, Emche, the Aleph is Aaron HaKohen, that held one hand of Moshe. The Mem is Moshe. The Ches is Chir, Chur, and the High is Hashem. The second time they succeeded was with my Humon. Emche is, Humon is Amulek. Emche, the Aleph is Esther. The Mem is Mordechai. The Ches is Charvoine, and the High is Hashem. And Vies HaMashiach will also be with Emche. The Aleph is Eliyahu HaNevi. The Mem is Mashiach. The Ches, the Gemara says in Sikkeh, that Ches Nasichai Udom, eight princes will come along with Mashiach. Ches Nasichai Udom, and the High is Hashem. I asked my grandfather, I checked out the Gemara there in Sikkeh, I see Eliyui is also one of the eight. So here he's giving us the Aleph Eliyui. And here of the eight, there's also once again Eliyui. So my grandpa says, okay, let's hear what you have to say. The young boy says, I told my grandfather, could be it says that 3 days before Mashiach come, he will call out, Shivi Bunim Shavavim, repent. So one time Eliyui comes before Mashiach, that's why he mentioned the Aleph. And then the Chasen Sechuyudom, he comes with everyone together. Hashem Shin, the merit of us doing the Tikkun Amidis, correcting our traits and characteristics, Muzechet, the Gilu Shleim Arman Uman.